gov.
Welcome to the Talk Radio Countdown Show with Doug Steffen, counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio
Countdown. Rush Limbaugh saving more industries and creating more jobs than Barack Obama and Mitt Romney combined.
That's Rush Limbaugh claiming he's created more jobs than Mitt Romney and President Obama combined. The presidential race is where we start this hour of the Talk Radio Countdown Show. I'm Doug Steffen. Let's get started listening to this discussion with host Gary Allen and Steve Kelly talking to CBS political correspondent Dottie Lynch about what's next for Mitt Romney after winning the Texas primary and finally clinching the nomination.
What next?
I think more of the same. Romney has basically been the presumptive nominee for the last probably couple months, but now that it's official, I think people will really see this as a Obama-Romney race and leave some of that Republican presidential politics behind.
It'll be interesting to see, too. You mentioned that the rhetoric generally before convention, the two parties try to appeal to extremes. Now, I'm guessing they'll head back to the center to garner independence.
Well, that's the overall game plan. The problem is that they still have those conventions coming up at the end of August, and in case there is any dissension on the Republican side in particular, Romney has to be a bit careful that he doesn't do what I guess his campaign manager made that little gaffe of calling an etch-a-sketch moment of just wiping everything clean and starting from scratch. So I think we saw yesterday a little precursor of what Romney's likely to do, which is a pretty strong attack on Obama for running down the country and promising that he will bring it back to greatness. But the key is obviously going to be those swing states and those really small number of undecided voters who will probably make the difference.
You mentioned dissension. Do you think that the two-party or the Republicans in the GOP race, that sniping, it took so long to finally come to those delegates, you think that adds fuel to Obama's campaign?
It can, but I think they know, too, that what the voters care about is the economy, and they can use some of that, and we'll have some fun doing it in terms of whether Romney is qualified and whether he is someone who can relate to average people. But the main thing is whether the American people think that Obama or Romney are going to do a better job on the economy, and I think that's where those undecided voters are as well.
Now let's go to Governor Romney's friends. Dottie, you may have heard this yesterday. We'll play it.
A lot of people are questioning his birth certificate. They're questioning the authenticity of his birth certificate. I've been known as being a very smart guy for a long time. I don't consider myself birther or not birther, but there are some major questions.
What do you make of Donald Trump's comments yesterday?
Well, it got him back in the news, didn't it? Which is seems to be what Donald Trump wants. I mean, I think the Romney campaign probably made a mistake, definitely in scheduling that on a day where a lot of the spotlight was on Romney's win, and it kind of overshadowed the win a bit by having the birther issue and Trump in the forefront of the news.
And between now and the conventions in August, we need a vice president for Mitt Romney. What do you think?
Well, I tend to be on the side of the do-no-harm crowd in the Republican Party. They said, we tried something fancy with Sarah Palin, don't do that again. somebody like Rob Portman from Ohio, somebody who has credentials on the budget and on the economy. But then you see people like Governor Christie of New Jersey, who they think could really be a good debating partner for Joe Biden, someone who's a little bit salty, Marco Rubio, the Cuban-American senator from Florida, so, and Bob McDonnell from Virginia here, kind of conservative up-and-comer in the Republican Party. So I think there's still a lot of tryouts to be had, and we'll probably be speculating for many, many weeks to come.
Up next, more on Mitt Romney and Donald Trump and the birther issue. Aren't you tired of that? But we'll talk about it because lots of people are here on the Talk Radio Countdown.
One thing I've learned on my journey to help save people money on car insurance is that folks across the country like convenience. And what could be more convenient than visiting GEICO.com? We can manage your policy, pay your bill online, just about anything you need. And it's open 24/7. It's kind of like popping into the ultimate convenience store, except we save people money. And we don't have beef jerky.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com to see how much you could save. GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Jay Farner here from Quicken Loans. We've got a program with an interest rate that's dramatically lower than the current rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage. It's called our 7-1 adjustable rate mortgage. The rate today on a 7-1 ARM is an amazing 2.75%, APR 3.03%. This incredibly low rate is locked until the year 2019. After that, it may adjust once per year. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN. We'll help you keep more of that hard-earned money in your pocket where it belongs. Maybe that's why for the second year in a row now, J.D. Power & Associates ranked Quicken Loans highest in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination in the nation. I believe there's never been a more perfect time to refinance or purchase than right now. Again, the rate today on a 7-1 ARM is an amazing 2.75%, APR 3.03%. So give us a call today at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN. Or visit us at quickenloans.com.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Adjustable rate subject to change. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. License. Now 50 states, NMLS number 3030.
A lot has changed from when Nola Osh started school until the time she finished.
When I received my diploma, it was a big to-do.
At 95 years young, Nola became the world's oldest college graduate.
If we don't concentrate on our ages, we go ahead and do things as if we were younger.
So no matter how old you are, live life and pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
Today's Gold Bond Rescue Mission, itching for a birdie.
I'm on the 10th green with Sam.
Hey.
And right now, he's sweating a tricky downhill putt from 9 feet out.
That's tricky because I'm all sticky and itchy.
That's why I'm giving Sam the powder with the power, Gold Bond Body Powder. The encapsulated menthol protects skin, absorbs moisture, and relieves itching.
Now, if I miss, it's all on me.
Relax. Gold Bond keeps you cool under pressure.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Thank Gold Bond.
It's the worst.
Ever turn on your TV to find the Dish Hopper let you skip through all the ads? Ever find an entire show is passed without interruption because the Dish Hopper lets you automatically skip the ads? Well, if you're tired of skipping ads, turn to radio, where ads are alive and well.
Watch commercial-free TV with the Hopper, the new whole home HD DVR from Dish. Call 1-800-WATCH-TV to get Dish today. Only available for playback of select HD primetime shows and must be enabled by customer. Programming sold separately. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Talk radio in review, and we're still focused on the presidential race, including this excerpt from a program hosted by John Sylvester and Crystal McKenzie talking about Donald Trump getting himself back into the news by reviving that silly birther issue.
You wonder what they think about the rest of the world thinks about someone like Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Being at the top of political discourse of all the people in this country. This ridiculous human being, and I do say ridiculous human being, as far as I can tell, he has no virtues.
Well put, Sly.
None. With name and a redeeming quality about him.
Oh.
I know you got a thing for him.
Oh, I do not. I like
Morning, y'all.
I like The Celebrity Apprentice. I mean, I like to watch it, but that's about it. That's about all I like about Donald Trump, really.
So, here he went on Wolf Blitzer yesterday.
You know what? Everybody's entitled to their opinion, Wolf. You know my opinion, you know his opinion, and that's fine.
But the state of Hawaii says it's not an opinion, it's a fact.
No, I don't think so. I think if you look at the birth certificate, take a look, and you tell me, really, you analyze the birth certificate, there are many people that don't agree with that birth certificate. They don't think it's authentic, Wolf.
I don't know when you say many people who don't agree.
Many people.
Like who? Give me a name of somebody in a position of authority in Hawaii who says... But give me a name.
There are many people. I don't give names.
I love it when that happens.
You know, I mean, there's a comical part of this. But you understand, you don't have to drop the N-bomb anymore. You don't have to say colored. You don't have to. This is a dog whistle. The birth certificate issue is to disparage the president and say he's not an American. He's different.
Right.
So there's nothing quaint about it. There's not. I mean, yeah. I mean, Donald Trump is such a ridiculous buffoon, but understand why Mitt Romney's with him. Understand that. So when George Will said this.
I do not understand the cost-benefit here. The costs are clear. The benefits, what voter is going to vote for him because he's seen with Donald Trump?
Oh my God.
The cost of appearing with this bloviating ignoramus is obvious, it seems to me.
Ignoramus.
What kind of voter is going to vote for Mitt Romney because he's seen with Donald Trump? Well, I suspect that George Will meant that as a rhetorical question, but I'm going to take that literally this morning. So what I want you to do is do a profile, and I don't want broad generalizations, you know, racists. No, no. Let's draw the profile. Describe people to me. I want you to conjure up the vision of someone who's more likely to come to the polls and vote for Mitt Romney because he's seen with Donald Trump. I want you to paint a profile for me. Just make up the person you think might be drawn.
I like it.
You like it?
Oh, I'm thinking. My head's spinning.
I want you to be as creative as you can be. I want you to envision someone who's like, I don't know, Mitt Romney's a Mormon. He's a little too slick looking, but I do like that Donald Trump.
Here's radio man Steve Scott with Ken Vogel from Politico.com about the enormous amounts of money the Republican super PACs are pouring into the presidential race.
Where is all this money coming from?
It's coming from very, very rich folks who are very, very upset with President Obama and want to defeat him in November. And they are enabled by a couple of federal court decisions that allowed them to give unlimited checks to super PACs and other outside groups to air advertisements attacking or supporting candidates. They're taking full advantage of it.
What will they be spending this $1 billion on? Is this all campaign ads, $1 billion worth of ads?
A whole lot of it is going to be campaign ads. We'll see a little bit of on-the-ground organizing, the kind of retail politics that we think of when we think of folks going door-to-door and asking for votes. And we'll also see a lot of social media, Facebook ads, Google ads, online outreach through emails and otherwise. But, yes, primarily the vast majority of it will be spent on TV ads. TV ads are the most expensive form of communication that campaigns can buy. When you have $1 billion, you can buy a lot of them.
Is this all for the presidential race, Ken, or who else benefits? Congressional candidates, governor's races?
We'll see a lot of it in congressional races. The Senate, primarily, particularly if it looks like President Obama is going to be reelected, we'll see some of this $1 billion diverted to U.S. Senate campaigns. Republicans are within 4 seats of being able to retake control of that body, and the feeling among Republican operatives we talk to is that if they can't get the White House, the next best thing will be getting the Senate.
So is the entire country in play, or will some areas see a greater focus than others?
Oh, definitely see a greater focus in swing states, states like Virginia, Nevada, North Carolina, Ohio, Florida, and then also in states that have these competitive Senate races. We'll see a lot, and some of those are the same, but there's also Texas and a handful of Midwestern states that are going to have competitive Senate races. But I think pretty much the whole country is going to see some fallout, if you will, from this billion-dollar campaign.
Can the Democrats match this billion-dollar blitz? Do they have a bankroll of their own?
They have a bankroll, but it's not going to be able to match this billion-dollar blitz. And so what we're going to see is the Obama campaign and the Democratic National Committee, which are subject to much tighter restrictions on the types of money that they can accept and raise, really redoubling their efforts to reach out to small donors and to mid-sized donors who are not the ones who are able to write these million-dollar, sometimes $10 million checks that are being raised on the right, the types of checks that are going to comprise this billion-dollar blitz.
Up next on our countdown, the president using drones and the kill list. Next. Here on the Talk Radio Review.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro EM1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free. Contains all natural and certified organic ingredients. Contains no preservatives or animal products. Supports a healthy digestive and immune system. Supports weight loss. Improves absorption of food nutrients. Aids in controlling yeast infections. Is never freeze-dried. And uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com. Spelled TerraGanix.com. TerraGanix.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro EM1, the raw probiotic.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorney. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Doug Steffen here talking about what the talk radio folks, talk television people, are yakking about the president and his kill list. Now here's host Jay Weber talking about the double standard that makes the kill list sound like it's a good thing for Obama, but would be generating outrage, perhaps, if it were done by a Republican. What do you think?
The president has a kill list. Huh, interesting. There's a list of Al-Qaeda and Taliban types that can be killed from the air in drone strikes, apparently. And the New York Times did a big piece on this yesterday. And apparently the gist of it is that the president himself has a weekly Terror Tuesday meeting with his advisors, and he insists on approving every new name that goes on this kill list, and it's an ever-expanding list, apparently, of terrorist suspects that when they get evidence of where they are, they can kill and kill from the air with drone strikes. And the attempt is obviously to make Obama look tough, make him look like a great commander-in-chief. This is another instance in which I swear, if this were George W. Bush or any other conservative, this would be an international outrage and a huge scandal. The president of the United States has a kill list. And how is it killing these people? Just from a distance, and if there's collateral damage, well, so be it. Because it's Barack Obama, this is framed differently. This is even portrayed as a good thing. Oh, he's tough on terror. He's a tough on terrorism president, is really the tone of the story. And it's a story that seems so complimentary that the White House could have written it itself. Whereas George W. Bush, or really any other president, would be viewed as a reckless cowboy, ordering attacks that didn't just kill the terrorists, but routinely killed innocent victims and bystanders, too. And by the way, when you kill the terrorists from a distance, you have nothing or no one to interrogate. This is another one of the drawbacks of this strategy of just killing high-level terrorists rather than trying to capture them. This really is an instance of yet another bungled foreign policy. When you think about it, we've had all sorts of bungled foreign policies from this president. Missteps with Iran and Syria and Lebanon, Libya, the Middle East peace process. But here, really, if you're honest, this is another instance of a bungled foreign policy. Let's just kill the terrorists from a distance and not even try to capture them or get intelligence from them. And yet, because it's Obama, he's not given the proper scrutiny. It's ridiculous that George W. Bush and Dick Cheney got criticized for capturing and interrogating suspects and holding them at Guantanamo Bay. But they did so because they wanted to gather and needed to gather intelligence. Then they locked them up at Gitmo. These folks are still alive. They're being well-fed. They're being well taken care of by the American taxpayer. And yet George Bush and Dick Cheney got all sorts of heat for the way they prosecuted this war.
Here are some talk radio callers and what they had to say about the president using drones and the kill list to deal with terrorists.
I think it's a very good idea. If we had thought about this, we would have sent our sons and daughters to Hanoi.
you know, so far you don't know your enemy. You don't know who you're fighting with. It's not like a country. Why are you going and fighting a country? You're fighting a nameless militant, and you don't know who they are. You know, you can be talking to somebody tomorrow, and the next minute you know they're killing you. So don't tip for tat. And that's what we should have done a long time ago. We wouldn't be in this situation, all these millions, and here we are, you know, jobless and all this kind of stuff came from this war.
Yeah, I think it's okay to run this program as long as every other country in the world can do the same thing. It's ridiculous. It's unconstitutional. The ACLU has a lawsuit against the NDAA right now where that's included, the Defense Authorization Act. And it's bizarre. I can't believe people are accepting this. He's already killed three American citizens, and no one has said much at all except the progressives. He's like Bush on steroids in some cases. He's just smarter than Bush and a lot more charming.
A president of a great country has to do what he has to do in order to protect the country. And these people have been identified by reliable sources as people who are trusted in the country. You want to wait till they load an airplane or destroy a city before we do something? You know, the Republicans and these other people who have been doubting the president's ability to lead the country in a forthright manner, to stop and take notice. If you have a great president, a man who believes in protecting the country, and he'll do whatever he has to do in order to do that.
Up next on our countdown, the latest on the John Edwards trial. Boy, that'll be exciting. That's next here on the Talk Radio Review.
The war had been gone for 2 years, and I got the call. I got the calling to join the service and support the boys over there.
Thousands of American troops have come home from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, suffering the effects of post-traumatic stress and traumatic brain injuries.
I never thought that I would have PTSD. I thought that I had enough coping skills.
I don't think anybody who goes into combat could ever honestly say that they're not different when they come home.
What you take as a simple thing is not so simple for me anymore.
I'm going to have my good days and my bad days, and I really don't like those bad days.
I would say to those people that are out there, don't brush this aside and don't count us out.
Help the USO support these troops and their families. Hear more of their stories at usoinvisiblewounds.org. The wounds are invisible. The stories are real.
Grandpa!
Hey, there he is.
What a appearance. Sit down, unfortunately.
I love staying here. How long have you lived here?
Long time. You know, your mother grew up here.
I'm gonna have a house like this when I grow up.
I hope so, buddy. I hope so.
For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. Visit houselogic.com/homeownership to learn more.
As the summer driving season gets started, Sears Auto Center wants to make sure you get the most out of every gallon of gas with a great deal on our Fuel Saver package. Right now, for just $29.99, you get a conventional oil change, air filter, tire rotation, multi-point inspection, and tire pressure check. You'll also save on all Goodyear tires, including up to $65 when you buy four. Just stop by Sears Auto Center now or visit SearsAuto.com for more money-saving offers and coupons. Sears Auto Center, valid for most vehicles. Fuel Saver package regularly $57.98. Goodyear savings range from $16 to $65. Savings go through 6-12.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Thomas Jefferson once said, "When the people fear their government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty." Our God-given right to life and liberty, and the right to determine what is best for our lives and our families' health, are in jeopardy. If we the people do not diligently assert these rights, they may be taken away and lost forever. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, and we will not meekly allow ourselves to be led as lambs to the slaughter. Sitting passively by and accepting the chains of slavery that are being placed on America is not an option. Please stand with Utopia Silver in this fight. Utopia Silver carries some of the most effective colloidal silver products on the market and numerous other high-quality health supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A, utopiasilver.com. Or call us today at 1-888-213-4338. 1-888-213-4338.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Welcome back into the TRC, the Talk Radio Countdown Show. Let's pay attention to John Edwards and that trial. Here's Trace Gallagher talking to reporter Jonathan Suri about some strange actions by jury members and how that might affect this case.
We are now hearing that a member of the jury has just passed a note to the judge as deliberations stretch into their eighth day. Jonathan Suri is live outside the courthouse in Greensboro, North Carolina. Jonathan, what happened here?
Hi, Trace. Apparently there have been two notes that were passed to the judge. The latest came around 2:45 this afternoon, prompting a meeting between attorneys on both sides of this case. It was a closed-door meeting, and ordinarily when the judge receives these notes, she discusses them in open court, and we have some idea, at least to the general nature of the note. She did not do so in this latest case. Now, the earlier note was passed to the judge just before the jury broke for lunch. Apparently, one of the jurors wanted to meet with the attorneys in this case. Once again, that note prompted a meeting between the judge and lawyers on both sides. It's unclear whether the juror in question was able to meet with the lawyers or if the judge simply presented his concerns to the lawyers on both sides. Now, we don't know what this particular juror's concerns were. However, these developments occur a day after Judge Catherine Eagles admonished the jurors not to discuss the case outside the courtroom and to only discuss the case when all 12 jurors were present. Now, while there's no official confirmation of this, some legal experts have speculated that perhaps there was a complaint from one of the jurors that some members of the panel were discussing the case after hours and in small groups, indicating that perhaps there's some dissent on the jury panel. But again, this is all just speculation. What we do know is that two notes were passed to the judge today, one just before the jury broke at noon because a juror wanted to meet with the lawyers in this case, and the second note occurring mid-afternoon, the judge not discussing what that note was about, but the deliberations continue.
Here's another talk radio host named Steve Gill. Here He focuses on the juror problems in this case, the Edwards case, which he believes will undoubtedly lead to a mistrial.
John Edwards is still waiting for the jury to decide his fate, and the judge in the John Edwards corruption trial has had to admonish jurors again over bizarre behavior. This thing is just so ready and ripe for a mistrial. I mean, they've tried this guy. The jury's now been considering things for over a week. They're now going to be considering things, I think, longer than the trial took. You've had one juror have to get, or I guess an alternate juror, have to get admonished by the judge for flirting with John Edwards during the trial. And now the judge has had to admonish the jurors again over some other bizarre behavior and remarks, telling the jurors again, don't discuss the case outside the courtroom. The judge told the jurors yesterday, all of your deliberations are to take place in the jury room only, and only when all 12 of you are present. Apparently there's another juror issue, and the lawyers aren't saying what it is. First of all, you had the lady in red, a brunette in her 20s, dubbed the lady in red by one of the media bloggers. One of the alternate jurors may be flirting with Edwards by exchanging, as the ABC News producer blog noted, coquettish smiles with Edwards in the courtroom. Other journalists present in the court noted that juror Edwards, a skilled trial lawyer, attempts to smile and make eye contact with all the jurors. Some return his glances, others avert their eyes. Last week, this is kind of interesting, all four of the alternate jurors, three women and one man, arrived in court wearing color-coordinated shirts. Thursday, they all wore canary yellow. Friday, they opted for red. On Tuesday, they dressed in black and didn't really appear to be completely matching. Maybe they were following the judge's admonition to quit drawing attention to yourselves. According to the Washington Post, at least one juror was seen gesturing across the room at alternates in the courtroom during breaks. Now, while the alternates are not taking part in the deliberations, they are allowed to have lunch with the regular jurors, so they kind of hang out together. judge asked the jurors about their availability for the next 2 weeks as the deliberations are now expected to continue into early June. They're looking at another 2 weeks of considering the case. Now, the former Democrat presidential candidate, John Edwards, is facing 6 counts of campaign finance law violations for allowing about $1 million in donors' money to be directed to his pregnant mistress during the 2008 campaign.
Okay, enough on the trial. Let's go into the minds of the people in Syria. Let's find out more about the situation there here in just a moment on the countdown.
Are you struggling each month to make ends meet? Could an extra $1,000 help you out today? Would restructuring your credit card debt into a lower, more manageable payment make life easier? Well, there is hope. A national consumer advocacy network comprised of lenders and professional credit advisors is ready to help you. Just text the word FREE to 20300 for instant information on programs that can help you. Text the word FREE to 20300 right now. Message and data rates may apply.
Here we have a rare treat, the keeper of the forest, as some have coined her. Built to carry heavy loads long distances using minimal natural resources, her coat of iron and steel keeps her safe. You can just feel the motherly instinct she has for her surroundings.
Sometimes the best things for nature come in unexpected forms. CSX trains move 1 ton of freight nearly 500 miles on a single gallon of fuel. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
With our Dish Hopper, automatically skipping commercials on TV is easy. The Dish Hopper lets you skip primetime commercials on all 4 major networks. But how can you skip ads in other places? Well, Dish has some suggestions. To skip newspaper ads, simply chase your paperboy off your lawn with a baseball bat. To skip highway billboards, memorize the route you're driving, then coat all your windows in a thick black paint. And finally, to skip ads on the internet, simply locate your router and begin punching it. Continue punching it until the router or your fist have had enough. Now, none of this is as easy or convenient as using the Dish Hopper, which lets you automatically skip primetime ads on all 4 major networks. But you can't go too far when it comes to skipping ads.
Watch commercial-free TV with the Hopper, the new whole home HD DVR from Dish. Call 1-800-WATCH-TV to get Dish today. Only available for playback on select HD primetime shows and must be enabled by customer. Programming sold separately. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
At Advance Auto Parts, we don't do anything just partway. We go full throttle. We don't just sell you some oil. Oh, no. Now, you can get a Castrol GTX conventional oil change special for just $20.99. Plus, enter to win the $15,000 Castrol Ultimate Garage Sweepstakes. Thought your garage was pretty sweet? Well, wait until you see it totally pimped out. Service is our best part.
Advance Auto Parts.
See store for details. No purchase necessary for sweepstakes. Visit CastrolUltimateGarage.com for program rules and to enter.
Important medical alert for users of antidepressant prescription drugs. If you or a loved one used certain antidepressant prescription drugs before or during pregnancy, including Zoloft, Depakote, Paxil, Prozac, Wellbutrin, Lexapro, Celexa, or Effexor, and have a child born with a birth defect such as cleft lip, cleft palate, club foot, or other heart, lung, and cranial defects, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation and future medical expenses for your child's condition. Call 800-457-1584 now. If you or a loved one used certain antidepressant prescription drugs before or during pregnancy and have a child born with a birth defect, time is limited to file a claim. Act now. You may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Call 800-457-1584. That's 800-457-1584. The call and consultation are free. 800-457-1584.
This is an advertisement, not valid in all states. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. iLawsuit.com is an advertising group that represents lawyers advertising their services and is a pre-matching service for consumers. It is not a law firm or lawyer referral service.
The TRR Talk Radio Review, I kind of like that, TRC, Talk Radio Countdown. The attention now on our program aimed at Syria. Here's Angria Mitchell talking to Susan Rice, the U.S. Ambassador to the U.N., about the ongoing violence in Syria and what the U.N. thinks ought to be done.
What did you hear from Geneva, from the briefing from Kofi Annan's team who just came out of Damascus? What did you learn today, and what were the reactions of the Security Council members?
First of all, we did hear from Kofi Annan's deputy, Jean-Marie Gaheno, and from the Undersecretary General of the United Nations for Peacekeeping, Hervé Ladsous, both of whom had recently been on the ground in Syria. And as you know, Kofi Annan remains in the region. They reported both on the details of the horrific massacre in Houla, which they attributed principally to the government and its allied militia. But they also gave a broader briefing about the overall security situation, the difficulties in launching a political process at this stage. We all agree that a political process that would lead to the removal of Assad and a democratic transition is absolutely crucial. But with the government increasing the scale and the level of atrocities and widening the scope of it, that is really not realistic at this stage. So we had a discussion both about the security situation on the ground, the progress of the monitoring mission, the attitude of the government towards this process, and of course that of the opposition, and we discussed the necessary potential next steps as among members of the Security Council.
What are those next steps?
Well, Andrea, I spoke on behalf of the United States, and I said really there are three scenarios that are going to materialize. They're mutually exclusive, and I can't see what would happen beyond them. The first scenario and the best scenario is that the Syrian regime finally and immediately wakes up and stops the killing and adheres to its commitments under the Annan plan, in which case we can get a political process going, and the diplomatic initiative that Kofi Annan has been leading remains viable, which is our strong hope. But it is not the most likely scenario at this stage. The second is that in the absence of the Assad regime adhering to its commitment suddenly and definitively, that the Security Council and others in the international community come together in a unified way to increase the pressure on the Assad regime, including through the use of sanctions and Chapter 7, the enforcement provision of the UN Charter. As you know, Russia and China have twice vetoed much lesser action than that, and in their statements today, it was not at all clear that their position had changed. So we're going to continue continue working with allies and partners and other colleagues in the Security Council on next steps there. But we think that that is another way to preserve the viability of the Annan plan, the unity of the Council, and the pressure on the Assad regime, such that perhaps they then come to their senses. The third scenario, which unfortunately is the worst scenario, is that none of that happens and the violence intensifies and spills over into the region. It heightens sectarian fissures, and we in effect have a proxy war in which outsiders are supporting the opposition or the government through arms and other means. That would be exceedingly destabilizing, and that's why that's not our first choice. Our first choice is for there to be a political process. But should that not be viable, should the Syrians refuse to allow that to happen and the Security Council is unable to take up its responsibilities, that may be where we end up.
Here's a radio host named Garland Robinette talking to Christopher Preble, Director of Foreign Policy at the Cato Institute, about the rumors that we're getting ready to send our military into Syria.
Do you see that happening? And if so, where did we get the people? Where did we get the money?
Well, I certainly hope that we're not actively planning a U.S. military intervention in Syria, not the least of which because I think one of the lessons that we should have taken away from Libya is that members of Congress should feel as though they should have some say in all of this, and I think they felt rather slighted by the way that the Obama administration launched the Libyan campaign last year. In fact, you even have now some bipartisan support. Senator Jim Webb here in Virginia and Mike Lee from Utah are collaborating on a bill that would require Congress to vote on an intervention like the Syrian case, which is a humanitarian intervention, not an intervention to advance U.S. national security interests. So I think that's one lesson that we've taken from the Libyan experience and is likely to be applied in Syria. The question about the cost and the number of people, the Libyan war was relatively cheap by war standards, both thankfully no U.S. Service casualties, and perhaps roughly four or five billion dollars we're estimating in terms of the cost of the war itself. But of course, the war isn't over in Libya. The civil conflict continues to some degree. There's been violence that spread beyond Libya's borders, most importantly to Mali. And I think that's the issue in the case of Syria that has everyone most worried. That the Libyan case was a fairly small country and it could be contained. I think there is some serious concern that even if Assad fell or left the country, that you then would see a long-term civil war going on in Syria, that violence and chaos could spread to the neighboring states. And so that would mean that the war there would be much more costly and take a much longer period of time. For all those reasons, I think that there's likely to be much more interest in among the neighboring states to try to, at a minimum, contain the violence in Syria or, ideally, shepherd Assad from power.
Here's host Pete Callender talking about several nations kicking out Syrian ambassadors, and after that, is military action inevitable?
9,000 people apparently dead since March of 2011. Governments around the world expelling Syrian ambassadors and diplomats in what's called an unusual coordinated blow to Syrian President Bashar Assad's regime. Oh, how far we've come from the days when he was a reformer, dubbed as such by President Obama. 4 months later, he disagreed with his own assessment of that. So apparently, Bashar Assad's regime massacred women and children. So the United States, Britain, Canada, Australia, France, Germany, Italy, Spain, and the Netherlands all took this similar action, kicking out Syrian ambassadors from their respective nations. The move came after the killings on Friday in Hula, a collection of farming villages in Syria's Homs province, one of the deadliest single events in a 15-month-old uprising against Assad that has killed thousands. A UN report today said 49 children and 34 women were among the 108 people who died. It did not say decisively who carried out most of the killings. However, the intelligence reports seem to indicate it was a military in cooperation with a pro-Assad militia. So it starts raising the question, given the the history that the United States has now in the region with Iraq and Afghanistan and Libya and Egypt, what should we be doing, if anything at all, about the Syrian situation? Because there is also new saber rattling going on with Iran. And Syria and Iran, thick as thieves. They get along swimming.
Up next, we look at the arrest in Pakistan of a doctor who was instrumental in locating Osama bin Laden. That's next.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at Terraganics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
Love gardening but don't love seeing your hard work destroyed by wildlife? Then use the number one most effective deer and rabbit repellent you can buy, PlantSkid. PlantSkid repellent protects gardens, trees, and landscaping by emitting an odor that browsing animals associate with predators. So animals avoid plants before they nibble, not after. PlantSkid is made in the U.S. from non-toxic, 100% organic, environment, and pet-friendly ingredients. Other repellents wash off in the rain. Not PlantSkid. It's guaranteed to outlast all other repellents. PlantSkid was the first animal repellent to be OMRI listed organic and now comes in liquid spray, powder concentrate, or easy-to-use granular. Just sprinkle around your garden. For proven protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents, use PlantSkid. Member tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Find a dealer near you at PlantSkid.com. That's PlantSkyDD.com. Ask about our new bull repellent when you call 800-252-6051. That's 800-252-6051. PlantSkid. Proven plant protection. Guaranteed. Or your money back.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
The instrument of conversation, which takes place on so-called news talk radio and television programs. There's a ton of radio programs, not too many talk television channels, but there are three or four, and they're good, and they serve as fodder for conversation. That includes the arrest in Pakistan of a doctor that helped locate Osama bin Laden. Here's host John McGinnis with Congressman Dan Lundgren about what we're doing about this man who helped us get bin Laden.
Regarding the treatment of Shaquille Afridi, who was served to be a tremendous ally to us and our interests, and now is facing a 33-year prison term. And he's 48 years of age. I understand today that he's suffering from bad health problems as a result of depression and other factors. My sense is that he's not long for this earth if something doesn't change.
You know, here's someone who has helped us in a very significant way in a very important mission, one that you would think the Pakistanis would at least look the other way. Okay, they got to save face in some way, as they think they ought to do, but what the? You know, I mean, you're going to convict this guy?
Yeah.
And you're going to send him to prison? I mean, I've supported, I think we ought to consider the possibility of even making him an American citizen.
Yeah.
To put the pressure on the Pakistani government to say, look, this guy is very, very important to
us. What's the threshold on that? What does it take to actually cause that to occur?
Pass a bill in the Congress of the United States.
That's it. That's...
Yeah, we can make someone a citizen as a result. That's called private legislation. We rarely do it, but it seems to me we ought to at least have that as a bargaining chip to show that the Pakistani government how important it is to us. I mean, how do you get people to help you in serious missions like this if this is what you're going to do? Now, Perhaps we are doing things behind the scenes that are not right. being reported right now. But as far as I'm concerned, we ought to make every effort to show that we stand behind this individual, number one, but as importantly, to do something to protect him individually and his family. Yeah.
Well, I think there's also the need for a message to be shared to the global audience that we're going to stand by people who do good deeds for us. And I'm hopeful. My hope is that there's very serious efforts being undertaken to ensure his freedom. But I also have a concern that time is precious in this regard.
I mean, I remember a couple of years ago when I was with a small congressional delegation that went to Pakistan, met with some of the leadership there. And it's a very challenging atmosphere that we have there because, let me put it this way, just like in law enforcement, you deal with some unsavory people,
right.
and there's some that you might say are 75% good, 25% bad,
right.
But there's a real bad side to them.
Absolutely.
Do you not deal with them when it will benefit you in terms of a very specific interest?
Sure.
Not violating the law, but I
right.
mean, you know, dealing with some bad guys to get worse guys.
Right.
And in a very real sense, I think that's what we do with the Pakistani government.
Talk host Mitch Albom with military analyst Ken Allard about why this doctor was left behind in Pakistan in the first place.
There are some people who are saying, hey, if this guy was so significant to our doing this, why didn't America and our armed forces get him out of there while we were getting Osama bin Laden? Should we have taken more steps to protect this guy?
That's a very, very good question. I'm sure that's been asked by a bunch of people back in D.C. But you know what? To evacuate everybody that was associated with the raid, that would have been almost a bridge too far. The real question, I think, is whether or not they should have exfiltrated him about a week before the raid. It's a key question to me.
A week before. Now, might that not have tipped the hand, though, of what we were going to do?
I think that's probably why they probably decided not to do that. They thought there was a risk that if they did that, that indeed might tip anybody who was looking the fact that the raid was imminent. I mean, the one thing about this raid, until it happened, there was absolutely the best of our version of security I've ever seen. So that maybe would have well been the issue.
Well, what can we do at this point? I mean, I think everybody who hears this story feels like, wait a minute, this guy helped track down a mass murderer and no good deed going unpunished. I mean, him sitting and rotting in a jail cell, and then the Pakistanis basically telling us, oh, you know, relax. You know, this is none of your business.
Well, let me tell you what this reminds me of. This takes you right back to the Cold War, the spy that came in from the Cold, all those things about, hey, listen, we've got one of yours, you got one of ours, so let's do a trade. I mean, to have that being done now with Pakistan, I mean, you used to do it all the time with Russia. But to do that now with Pakistan, an alleged ally, that's crazy. Because after 9/11, Erdogan was told tonight, he said, look, we're going to treat anyone who harbors terrorists the same way we treat the terrorists, which means we're coming for you. And with Pakistan, I mean, you look at that and you think, okay, fine, if that's a policy, what about Pakistan? What are these guys? Are they friends? Are they enemies? Are they a patron saint? Or what? I mean, the only thing I can think of right now, there's a category called frenemies, friendly enemies. And that's the only category I can think of these guys, because look at it. The thing that makes it almost crazy is the fact they're a recipient of American foreign aid and knowledge.
What can we do, if anything, to help out this fellow who helped us in Pakistan? Find out more about the story in the countdown box at DougStephan.com.